listening to Live at Wimbledon Radio on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM and the official Wimbledon apps. Day 3 review.
Match point for the defending champion who serves down the centre. He will try and win it with a serve and volley. The stop volley is absolutely perfect. And my goodness, Andy Murray has been two today.
So the champion is into round three, but how about the number one seed?
Djokovic now goes cross-court and comes up with a shot that's just gone wide, but Djokovic is going to challenge it. Stepanek can't believe it, and he's praying, he's hoping, he's looking on his knees to Hawkeye, but it's not out, it's in, and Djokovic has won the match.
So last year's men's finalists both safely through, but Ferrer and Gulbis are out, as are Azarenka and Panetta in the ladies' singles. Well, hello and welcome from me, Mary Rhodes, on day three here at Wimbledon 2014. To help me look back at the day's action, I'm joined by Chris Wilkinson and Peter Marcato, both regular voices here on Live at Wimbledon Radio, of course. So, Chris, high point for you from day three.
It's easy. Djokovic, Stepanek was an incredible match. First ball to last ball, entertainment factor was incredible.
Peter?
Yeah, match of the tournament for mine so far. Had plenty of drama. Great to see Radek Stepanek, who has that serve volley game, put it out here and really showcase it and take it up to Novak Djokovic. I think it was going to be an awkward match for Novak. Probably not that awkward, but did very well to get through.
And he threw everything at it. And my, were the centre court crowd willing that on, willing it on into the fifth, weren't they? It never came, but he was given a little bit of a tester.
Yeah, I mean, Stepanek is an awkward player. They're good friends and know each other really well. And it was strange, the attitude of Djokovic at one stage in the match when he lost the third set. He seemed to get very down on himself. And I was just actually wondering whether he was getting a bit annoyed that the crowd weren't in his favour a little bit more often.
Well, a contrast, though, for Andy Murray, because he had an easy time of it on number one court against Blaz Rola of Slovenia. 6-1, 6-1, 6-love was the margin of victory as the Wimbledon champion swept through into round three.
Match point for the defending champion who serves down the centre. He will try and win it with a serve and volley. The stop volley is absolutely perfect. And my goodness, Andy Murray has been two today. 6-1, 6-1, 6-love in 6 minutes less than an hour and a half. It really could not get much more straightforward for a relaxed-looking Andy Murray. So comfortable in the sunshine, smiling from ear to ear. He is very safely through to round number three.
You know, if you can finish matches as quickly as possible, it definitely helps in the long run. I feel like that cost me a little bit at the French Open, not necessarily that I would have beaten Rafa in the semis even if I felt perfect, but I played a lot of long matches there, and a lot of the sets I was ahead in early in the tournament. I was a break up in the match against Cole Schreiber, like every single set, and it went, you know, whatever it was, 12-10 in the fifth set, and but I just had to concentrate on my side of the net today, and I took care of my serve pretty well throughout the majority of the match and played well.
Chris, could have there been a temptation for Murray coming into that match against Blaz Rola that maybe he switched off a little bit? Didn't, but the temptation that he could have done.
There's always that temptation. I think it's easy to get complacent when you're playing players who are lesser ranked, and that can happen. But what I was pleased with Murray's attitude, I mean, the scoreline suggests it. First ball to last ball, he didn't allow the opponent back into the match, and I think the most important thing is what he's saying in the interview there. You look at him at the French Open when he played Cole Schreiber long match, Verdasco long match, and by the time he got to the semi-finals the second week he was pretty much burnt out and really couldn't compete. So the first two rounds here for Andy Murray have been perfect for him. He's hit enough balls, plenty of energy left, so if this can continue in the first week, second week he'll be that much better off.
What about the third round, Peter? Roberto Bautista Agut.
Yeah, it just goes up in degrees, as most Grand Slam events do. Roberto Bautista, good, interesting play. He's having a real breakout season. Did very well on the hard courts in Australia. Posted some solid results on the clay. Yet to be tested to any great degree on grass, but has done very well to get through to the third round. Andy obviously going in his favourite, but he never takes any opponent lightly, but it'd just be a little bit wary of what Bautista Agut can bring.
So just going up gradually in degrees then, as it should.
Yeah, I think the way Roberto Bautista plays, he plays very flat. He hits it hard. I don't actually think that's going to be an easy match for Murray. I think this guy is gaining a lot of confidence this during 2014. as I say, the way he competes and the way he plays might not suit the matchup.
Well, if you follow Family Murray, you'll be happy to know that Jamie Murray and Aussie partner John Peers into round two of the doubles, they beat the British pairing of Dan Evans and James Ward. Now, so from the champion Andy Murray to the number one seed Novak Djokovic, the Serb beat Radek Stepanek an enthralling game on centre court, 6-4, 6-3, 6-7, 7-6.
Two sets up, I had some, you know, break point chances in the third, closed it out in a third set tiebreaker, but credit to him for fighting, and he's 35 years old, but he's moving very well, and surface wise grass is probably his most preferred, and he performs really well on the big stage. As you saw, he loves to engage the crowd, he's an entertainer, and it was fun from one side to be part of the great thrilling match, but on the other side, I should not have complicated my own life this way. But again, credit to him for playing well in important moments.
Chris, you were commentating on this one for us on centre court, and another thing actually that Djokovic said afterwards was he hinted towards about the lack of match practice on this surface. Do you think he was ruining that partway through it?
I mean, he prepares for Wimbledon differently to the other guys. He doesn't play a tournament beforehand. He goes and plays the exhibition match in Stoke Park. In fact, pulled out of that early because he was just wanted to rest his wrist that he's had problems with. I don't think his preparation is a problem. I think he's too good a player. He can play a couple of matches and then go through the gears as the time goes on. I don't see it as a problem.
So it's not about lack of preparation from Djokovic's point of view. It's more about the size of the opponent that he was facing in Stepanek.
Yeah, I think so. And again, it's those challenging first round, second round, third round matches that really will put him in good stead. It was a good workout today. And yeah, he hasn't played that the lead-up event. Maybe that'll change next year when there's 3-week gap between the French Open and Wimbledon, which is a good thing. He might play that. Have a tough match first week. If he has easy matches to get through to the second week, then he could be happy that he's had enough time on the grass to propel him through to potentially reaching the final.
So a word on his next opponent, Gilles Simon.
Yeah, Simon, a counterpuncher. He has got a few weapons in the bag. It'll be Djokovic making all the running. Simon will be very solid, particularly from the back of the court. I think Djokovic, though, will be too good.
Interesting with Simon recently. Yes, he is a counterpuncher, but I've seen him play quite a few of the clay court matches. He played a great match against Nadal in Rome. Played some great matches at French Open as well, and he kind of was going for it a lot more. So I'll be interested to see what sort of game plan the Frenchman takes. And if he goes on court and just smacks it a little bit, he's got a chance. If he goes in and pushes, then Djokovic is going to eat him up.
Correct. He has to go for his shots. It's as simple as that. He needs to make the running, and he needs to do it early in the match.
Okay, so what's your prediction on that one then?
Djokovic, yeah, I think. Get through that. I'm going to say 3, but they're going to be tight. There'll be a couple of tie breaks along the way.
I agree.
Okay, well, that's very neat. Now, we had a few shocks here on day 3 of Wimbledon 2014. Nothing to compare with last year, which was just bizarre, quite frankly. The gentlemen's singles lost their 7th seed, David Ferrer, and the Spaniard went out in 5 sets to the Russian Andrei Kuznetsov.
Well, now, of course, I am sad and it's a disappointment for me, but what can I do? I tried to do my best. I lost. This is a game. It's not the end of the world. I lost because my opponent, he was better. I think I did a good game, but he surprised to me and he played very, very good. A lot of winners. And in important moments, he was more aggressive than me.
Surprised to you, that one, Peter?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, Ferrer tends to play really well on all the surfaces and he's got that great speed, but sometimes he just has bad days at the office, and this was one of them. Not to take anything away from Kuznetsov, who played a super match. It was a really topsy-turvy encounter. So disappointing there for Ferrer, but not to be this year.
Yeah, from the opponent's point of view, Kuznetsov was a former junior champion here, so there was a lot of expectations from him. So this match for him is going to be doing really good, and maybe from there he can kick on. It is a surprise because David Ferrer on his day, I mean, he's one of those difficult players to actually beat, you know, so consistent. So that was a real shock.
Now, I know this next one was one that you were keeping an eye on at the beginning of the day, Peter. Ernest Gulbis, he crashed out in straight sets to the Ukrainian Sergei Stakhovsky. Departing 12th seed, said that he still isn't entirely comfortable on this green stuff.
Grass is very specific, and with these Slazenger balls, you know, they don't take so much spin. Even the baseline game, you know, when I spin the ball, it just, the ball collapses, you know, the ball slides off the strings. I have a feeling that it's like that, you know. you have to hit the ball much flatter, you know, and the serve also, you have to, it's different. It's just different. Always on grass, I played one good match, and then I played next one bad. And then, you know, I wasn't consistent enough. I don't have a consistent game yet on grass. I need to work on that.
Well, he's honest, Chris.
Yeah, very honest. So first of all, he's talking about the tennis balls. Tennis balls are heavier here at Wimbledon, so he's saying he can't get enough rotation on the shot, enough spin. But where he comes unstuck on grass is that forehand. He's got that funny sort of take back, that left arm goes forward. His backhand's great, but when he's got time, that forehand is a weapon. Grass, it's a different surface, it can shoot through. So it's not a biggest surprise you're ever going to see that Sergei Sakhovsky, good grass court player, serve volley, beat Federer here last year, got the scalp, yeah?
Yeah, it was that serve volley. It's that change of game that Gulbis really didn't like. And as you say, the balls were getting a lot quicker. Tsikovsky waiting at the net, putting away those volleys. It was quite a solid match from him today.
Mm. And you did watch a bit of that, didn't you, over on court 12?
I did, yeah. And there were a couple of long games along the way, and Tsikovsky just held tough. And when he was serving, he's taking the opportunity to serve and volley. He moves the ball around the court so well, getting Gulbis out of position. And as you say, Chris, he was rushing him at various stages through that match, peppering that forehand side to be able to get in and the easy put away. So as you say, it's not a huge surprise that Stakovsky grabbed the win there. Maybe the margin, straight sets. I thought Gulbis might have been good enough to grab a set along the way, but fair play to him. Played certainly well, well today, the Ukrainian.
And just on a slightly lighter note, Gulbis is known for... Well, he likes to let his hair down and have quite a good time, but perhaps he wasn't envisaging doing it on the first Wednesday of the Championships.
Yeah, he's a good character, isn't he? I love watching him play. I love these press conferences afterwards. And was it the quote was when he finished at the French, he went and spent all his money at the gambling or whatever he was doing. His mother phoned him up to tell him off. I mean, there's always some story about
him. There's always
him.
A good line there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, also at Mikhail Yuzhny, who lost to Jimmy Wang of Chinese Taipei. Now, the big story in the ladies' singles, defeat of Victoria Azarenka, the number 8 seed, lost to the Serbian Bojana Janavoski in 3 sets.
You can always take something positive from the match. The thing is that I created a lot of things to make happen for me today. I just didn't use any of those opportunities. So all that stuff that I built up was good, but not taking the advantage was not great. It's consistency, you know, it's not enough. It's a little bit too many mistakes, like not closing the opportunities, not being sharp enough. There's a lot of things that are still has to be tuned and has to be practiced, and it just basically goes down to back to work.
So, yeah, number seed, Azarenka, out. Was that something that you could have foreseen, Peter?
Yes, actually.
Ooh, bold. Well, it's easy after the event.
Exactly. Hindsight's a beautiful thing.
Isn't it, just?
Azarenka's been taking a little while to come back from injury, so hasn't had a lot of matches under her belt. And coming up against Jovanovski, who's quite a good player and sort of sitting in that 20-40 mark and has been around that mark for a while now, it was always going to be a tough match. It was here on grass, and I just think that lack of matches, had it have been 4 weeks later and Wimbledon was on, it would have been a slightly different story. But for Azarenka, she'll get her fitness back, she'll get the match practice back, she'll come back next year and she'll dominate. It was just a matter of, I think it's just a matter of timing this match today.
Yeah, I concur with what you're saying there.
So a blip and not a disaster by any means.
It's difficult if you haven't played enough matches. I actually thought Azarenka would do well this fortnight. I thought the first week she would get that match practice by winning one on two, three matches and kind of build up the match and the confidence about her. But unfortunately, as you say, it's just one match too soon.
Yeah. The other ladies seed to fall today was Flavia Panetta.
Yes, fell early today too. There were matches happening all over the place and we were trying to keep up. And I guess on the shock style, Flavia Panetta is just struggling a little bit with her tennis. And you just feel that she needs to turn the corner soon. She's been a real fixture on the tour. The 12th seed coming in here, leading to a quality player from the USA, Lauren Davis, in straight sets. But another disappointing out for Flavia Panetta. And really a second slam in a row where that's happened. She'll bounce back, but Lauren Davis, as we said, talk about the future of American tennis, a good result for her.
Mm, and at 5 foot two, someone who's flying the flag for us petite people, so I was particularly pleased by that. Right, now, would you say it's fair to say that today was the first day of this year's championships where it sort of started to ignite a little bit and we had a bit of interest with what was happening to Djokovic on centre court and a couple of the higher seeds going out?
And there are a couple of longer matches today, matches that are going the distance. Joe Wilfried Tsonga, we note, with Sam Querrey, that match going the distance. There was things happening all over the ground, so plenty to see and do.
Well, elsewhere, there were comfortable wins for the number two seed Li Na and the five-time Wimbledon champion Venus Williams, as well as Agnieszka Radwanska and Petra Kvitova and Caroline Wozniacki. So which ones would you pick out of that as being the most notable, the most impressive, and the ones that you think are worth noting?
Well, I can only comment on the match that I was commentating on. That was Radwanska. She was excellent, played against Casey Delacroix out here on centre court, first match up, and I was really impressed with the way she played, the variety that she brings to the court. She's not all about power. A lot of the ladies who play the game, they just hit it hard, and if it's not working, there's no other sort of plan B. But the way Radwanska plays, a lot of variety, drop shots, able to come forwards, places the shots rather than having it all about power. So I was very impressed with her, and I think she will go deep this week.
Well, what I'm liking is actually with those wins today, the matchups that come from it. You've got Kvitova playing Venus Williams. Interesting match. Both players in form. You'd say Kvitova would have the edge there slightly. And then Caroline Wozniacki playing a player who's made a successful transition from the juniors to senior tennis, Anna Konju of Croatia. So that will be an intriguing matchup as well. Konju, some good results early on here in the event.
And it was Wozniacki who put out Naomi Brody today in straight sets. That match was scheduled to be on number two court, but moved to number one. So, Chris, at least the Brit Naomi Brody had a short experience, and it was pretty brief, on a big show court. So that's something she can take away from the championships, as well as being a few thousand pounds better off.
Absolutely. She's won a round as well. So that was a good effort to play Wozniacki on court one. I mean, what the Brits have to do and what she's got to do is what she does after that. So the experience she's gained from Wimbledon by playing a big player on a big court, she's got to now take in to every week of the year and try and understand it's not just about the 2 weeks of Wimbledon.
Yes, and while we're talking about the Brits, actually, the 2010 finalist Vera Zvonareva overcame Britain's Tara Moore at 9-7 in the third set, and that obviously was a match that was carried over from the Tuesday. So Tara Moore's got a few things to mull over on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that match obviously was held over for bad light. They came back to play. And look, a really good performance against a quality player, Vera Zvonareva, working her way back up the rankings again. And she'll be much better for the experience, Tina Moore, and playing out there in front of the big crowd. And hopefully she enjoyed the experience. And as Chris says, taking this match and converting that into wins on the secondary tour and then hopefully onto the WTA tour.
Yep.
We're agreeing far too much of this podcast at the moment.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to stir this up a little bit. So, Chris, we're in the situation now. Heather Watson, the only remaining British woman in the singles draw.
Who does she play next?
She's on tomorrow.
She's got Angelique Kerber second up on centre court.
Of course. I think because she played well in Eastbourne, didn't she? Heather Watson made the semi-finals there. We talk about confidence with players and we talk about Azarenka not having confidence coming into this event. So Watson has that. And, you know, she can. I think it's important when she goes on centre playing a big name player to draw on the crowd. You've seen Andy Murray do it many times recently. Tim Henman did it a few years back. British player, centre court, get the crowd involved, get the old fist pumps going, and I think that's almost like a helping hand.
We'll look ahead to the order of play for Thursday shortly, but just to sort of wrap up some of the moments and the notable moments on the Wednesday, you hinted towards this, Peter, that match on court number two between Joe Wilfried Tsonga and Sam Querrey, after 3 hours and 21 minutes and at 9:23 p.m. they finally had to call it a day at 9-all in the fifth. Clearly, both players wanted to get wrapped up because I think there was a point at 8-all that they said, OK, look, the light's too poor, you've got to go off. And both players said, no, we want to carry on. Great for the crowd, but hugely frustrating for those two players who've got to come back all over again on Thursday. They don't know for how long. And how on earth do you prepare yourself mentally for that?
It's very tough. I mean, it's about the recovery and, you know, afterwards getting the treatment. They probably will need a massage. They've got to make sure they hydrate. One difficult thing is when you eat. If they think they've got to try and eat this evening, try and sleep on the back of that, got to come back, get themselves sort of motivated to play. They don't know how long they're going to play for. If it's any goes along the same lines of Isner and Mahu, it could be there for another couple of hours. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, it could be like the other day when Songa came out and served against Mounts of the following day. There's only 4 points. So you've got to be prepared for small, but you've got to be prepared for a lot.
Isner Mahu part two, potentially?
Oh, well possibly. But Chris, when you're in that situation, how on earth do you stay, I'm sorry to use the word focused, but it's the only one that I think that's appropriate at the moment. How do you stay focused in that situation that you're not rushing because you want to get the job done and then you over rush and it all goes pear-shaped?
It's an old cliche. You've got to take literally 1 point at a time. You know, you walk on court, you've got to think, okay, you've got to plan it, how you're going to serve, how you're going to sort of construct the point. And you know, it's just a case of really thinking of how you're going to do the process. And you know, rather than it's very easy, as you say, you think, okay, here I go, 4 points, that's a game, 4 points, mm-hmm. I've won. And then you're already looking towards the next round. Once you think that, then your opponent exposes the fact that you're not mentally into it. So it's important that they think that way. It's important that the people around, I always think the team around them is always vital to talk to them, to mentor them. You know, they've got to keep them company this evening. They've got to try and make sure they wake up and they've got some sleep. And it's not just about hitting the ball when they come back out on court. It's about the preparation side.
Yeah, that concentration, as you talk about the mental side, you need to be so on your game because it comes down to just points at this stage. And one bad miss, one loss of concentration where you might be up at the net, the easy put away, you miss that, can completely change the complexion of the match. And when we're only talking about two games at a time, you get that crucial break, then you need to work that little bit harder when your opponent is focused and able to serve out the games. It's an intriguing situation, and it really is a tough situation for the players, especially for Joe Wilfred Tsonga, who's effectively playing on the first 4 days of a slam.
And Joe Wilfred Tsonga is one of those players that can kind of just wobble off a little bit mentally and find it difficult to concentrate, so being in a situation like that is not ideal for him.
Yeah, no, I actually think if he could have played on tonight and played a few more games, it would have suited him better because he's, if you like, a big crowd player. And the atmosphere on that court was very, very good. And, you know, he kind of draws upon that as well. So when he comes out tomorrow, it might be a little bit flat. And that's where he can struggle when he's a bit flat, is his level dips down. That would be the time that Querrey, who's, you know, quite straight-faced, isn't he, Querrey, the American? I mean, he just gets on with it. You don't really quite know what's going on with him. So, you know, I think, you know, the advantage could possibly be with Querrey tomorrow.
Well, remembering that Tsonga wanted to keep going, he was the one who was pushing the issue.
And there was a point where Tsonga wanted to question a line call, but the light was so poor that actually Hawkeye wasn't working, which you know, again, can't be an easy situation to be in. It would be very, very, very easy to let that affect you mentally, but then you have to think it's the same for both players.
Yeah, I've never heard of that Hawkeye not being able to be used because of light before. I mean, for me, that was a whole new concept. And I almost think if the Hawkeye doesn't work, that's part of the rules and part of the game. If that's not working, then you should stop. Why not?
Yeah, and I guess it was sort of down to the players, wasn't it? When they were offered the light, to use a cricketing term, at Eight All, and they said, no, we want to keep going. Now, the Grigor Dimitrov beat the Australian Luke Saville on centre court in straight sets. What did you make of the 11th seed so far in the championships? Either of you had much of a chance to look at him?
Well, I saw a lot of him at Queen's, right. And I don't mean a lot of him as in, you know, that sort of thing, but I saw a lot of his tennis. And, you know, this guy for me is the real deal. He will be a Grand Slam champion. Maybe this year is a little too soon, possibly next year, but certainly a couple of years away from that, I think we are. His movement, the way he plays, and it's just time now. He just needs to get that experience. And I kind of feel, you know, putting him on centre court was actually a good thing for him, because it's almost, you kind of feel they're trying to blood the next champion.
And with that sort of match too, a very winnable match against Luke Saville. He wasn't going to have too many problems there, but got Roger Rashid in his camp as his coach, who's really pushing him along and getting him focused and really giving him that harder edge. And the other element to that, of course, is when your partner is Maria Sharapova. such a fierce competitor on court, you're learning from two of the best to build that mental side and that never say die attitude. And I guess that's been one of the criticisms of his game as he was rising through the ranks, that he just needed to work on the mental side and really tough out and grind out matches. Well, he's there now, and as you say, the sky's the limit for what he can do.
Yeah. Let's just throw a few other names into the mix then, alongside Dimitrov. Fognini, Anderson, Dolgopolov and Cilic. Pick over the bones of that lot, and which ones are impressing you the most?
Oh, well, Fognini's anyone's guess, so we might move on from that.
I love watching Fognini. Why? I mean, he's Italian. He's got that strut about him. I saw him over at the practice course.
But I don't think we've found something that you don't agree on.
And
have we?
It's frightening the way he goes about his tennis. He's a showman.
He's an absolute showman.
I'm with you on that. But can he string results together?
Well,
you can't afford to have set lapses like he did. He was so slow to start in his match earlier today.
Well, he's 15 in the world now? 15?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously better on the clay courts. He's one of the top performers on clay this season. So for him actually to do it on grass actually is a big achievement. But you always know when he plays, there's going to be fireworks. You know, there's always something with the umpires, always a racket being smashed. I mean, that's a given. So very entertaining. Anderson could do well, big server, potentially. I think he's in that area where Andy Murray is in that section of the draw. So Murray wouldn't be looking forward to that one.
Mm. Yeah, Dolgopolov going about his business okay as well. And Marin Cilic, the master of the long match, he just seems to be the one who plays five sets, had four sets in his win today. So look, he's in the mix. And again, you talk about that cluster of players that are around Andy Murray and his part of the draw. It'll be very interesting to see how it goes along. Cilic to play Thomas Burdick. We haven't mentioned him. A tough four-set
because you watched that match, Burdick's
yes,
match, didn't yeah, you?
Yeah, against Bernard Tomic. He lost the first set, but then just grinded it out, took the next two sets in tie breaks, and then Tomic's game fell away. And Burdick would be well satisfied. He had a tough test.
Mm. Now, Jeremy Shardy went through in five sets against Verdasco's conqueror, Marinko Matosevic. And Marcus Baghdatis is out. We do need to mention him, the wild card. Lost in four sets to Leonardo Mayer.
Yes, he did. And Marcus Baghdatis, I think we're going to see now with his career just those flickers of winding the clock back to former glories now. I think he's sort of at that stage of his career, and he's been wonderful to watch here and all around the world. And Jeremy Shardy, tough five-setter against Matosevic. A lot of tie breaks in that game, but did well to tough it out.
Yeah, I mean, Baghdatis is such a character. He goes to these tournaments, and you know the public still know who he is. They remembered when he made the final, the Aussie Open a few years back. He's one of those charismatic players that is good for the tournament. So I'm not surprised he gets wildcards to the events, and I can see that happening more. I can't see him hitting the great heights as he used to now. I mean, time moves on, the body gives up, and you know, I think that's pretty much where he's at. But Matosevic has had a good tournament, good win for Jeremy Shardy.
Now, don't forget that you won't miss anything here on Live at Wimbledon Radio, because we do, of course, cover all the action on the courts. And if you want dedicated commentary from Centre or Number One, you can do that either through Wimbledon.com or by downloading the Wimbledon app. But it's not just about what happens on the court for us here and the radio team. We've had some great tennis, of course, but we've also had plenty of fun off the court. Now, just a little warning, if you're having a lazy day at the All England Club, watch out, because Sonia McLaughlin is about.
I'm just going to tiptoe towards this couple. It's two ladies, actually. They are fast asleep. She's got a Union Flag T-shirt on. She has a Union Flag umbrella, which is clearly just shielding her face from the sun. And she is spark out. And I tell you what, there's an empty bottle of it. It's one of those small wine bottles. Bless her. Oh, I've just woken her up. Hello, what's your name?
Brenda.
Hello, Brenda. Were you fast asleep then?
I just heard you talking about me. I thought, who was that?
You've come for a day out at the tennis. Did you not get much sleep last night, or were you in the queue maybe?
Well, we've been in the queue this morning, but was also in the queue last night as well.
Do you think you're going to be awake enough to see Andy Murray at 1 o'clock?
Oh, definitely. That's what we're here for. We're having a rest now, so we can be quite awake when he starts playing.
Good for you, Brenda. I like your style.
Brenda, if you're in the queue again and resting, you now know what Sonia looks like. You have been warned. You're not going to get nobbled twice, I'm sure. She was very gracious, I felt, actually, Brenda, because she was having a nice old snooze and then suddenly she was live live at Wimbledon Radio, but she composed herself extremely well. Now, here's the tester, chaps, for your pricey skills. We need you to sum up day three of Wimbledon in 3 days. It doesn't have to be a sentence, doesn't have to be a three-word sentence. It has to, just has to be three words.
I'm glad we clarified that.
It's three words, not 3 days.
Shall okay. I go first?
Day three, please. In 3 words.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay, I will go with, because I commentated on it, and it was wonderful. Jocko Delights Center.
Nice.
I'm going to go a bit broader and go with the familiar phrase, good day, sunshine.
Oh, I like it. Yes, because we
sunny conditions.
Very good. We had absolutely
matches.
No rain.
Who yeah. sang that song?
Not out of the way band from these parts. I think we've heard of them before, haven't we?
Desperately hoping you weren't going to sing, Chris. I should jump in. Actually, I'm going to go along your theme because I like that. So I'm going to go with the great match that you watched as well. But I'm going to go with Stepanek, the entertainer.
Okay,
because he was. He was hugely entertaining. And I don't know whether when he was leaving Centre Court that he was bidding a farewell or if he was just saying thanks for your support.
Probably a bit of both, yeah. I'd imagine, yeah.
It was good stuff. Righty-ho, let's have a look forward to day four of the championships and run us through, if you would. Peter, let's start with Centre Court because it's a good enough place to start as any.
Yes, deja vu for Lucas Rossell and Rafael Nadal. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, they played. They played under the roof for the fifth set and Rossell got the win. I don't think that'll happen. Rafa will be on his game. And that's followed by Angelique Kerber, the number 9 seed, taking on Heather Watson. And a winnable match, I think, for Heather, although Angelique will go in as the favourite. And Roger Federer, the 4th seed, will take on Gilles Muller of Luxembourg. So not a bad centre court schedule coming up.
It's very good. I think the Gilles Muller v Roger Federer could be an interesting one. Muller, big, big serve. Lefty, so he's a tricky opponent. Been playing, he won like 4 or 5 challengers this year already. So he's a guy who's coming back up in the rankings, been around 30, 40 in the world. It's been his highest. So that could be an interesting matchup.
On the number 1 court, Serena Williams will take on Chanel Scapers of South Africa. Stan Wawrinka, the 5th seed, will take on Yen Sun Liu of Chinese Taipei. And Maria Sharapova, the 5th seed, will take on Tamia Bashinsky of Switzerland. So plenty of Swiss players on the number 1 court. On the number 2 court, Richard Gasquet will face Nick Kyrgios. We'll then, I think, have that held over match between Query and Songa. That will be happening along the way tomorrow. And then if that ever finishes, Eugenie Bouchard, the 13th seed, will take on Sylvia Soler Espinosa. Jerzy Janowicz, the 15th seed, will take on Leighton Hewitt. And Simona Halep will take on Lazia Surenko of the Ukraine. On number 3 court, Milos Raonic to face Jack Sock, Anna Ivanovic to take on Zhang Jie, Sabine Lisicki will take on Karolina Pliskova, and John Isner to face the journeyman from Finland, Jaakko Nieminen. And he just keeps on keeping on, doesn't he? On court 12, Gael Monfils, the 24th seed, taking on Jiří Veselý, Andrea Pekovic to take on Arina Kamilia Begu, Clara Kukulova, formerly Zakopalova, to take on Madison Keys, and then Feliciano Lopez to take on Ante Pavic of Croatia.
And you may as well finish off the show courts for us.
Kei Nishikori, the 10th seed, taking on Dennis Kudla. Carlos Suarez Navarro, the 15th seed, taking on Zarina Diaz. And Marcel Granollers, the 30th seed, to take on Santiago Geraldo of Colombia.
Chris, pick...
What about court 19? We haven't done that yet.
No.
We'll start off with the...
We've got to stop somewhere.
Seriously.
Chris, I'd like you to pick a one to watch
To watch. I would like to go for Janowicz and Hewitt.
Because?
Because you got two contrasting styles. Hewitt, the ultimate competitor, making a lot of balls against the crazy pole, semi-finalist here last year. Form has dipped, but is always very exciting to watch.
And a pick from you, please, Peter.
Yeah, you stole mine. I'm going to steal yours, Chris. Gael Monfils and Jiří Veselý. Which Gael Monfils is going to turn up?
Okay, thank you very much indeed. My thanks to Chris Wilkinson and Peter Marcato. Plenty more from those two to come during the rest of the championships. Now make sure that you join Marcus Buckland and the Live at Wimbledon radio team from 9 o'clock British summer time for full uninterrupted coverage and live commentary. Wayne Ferreira, Barry Cowan, Jan Michael Gamble, just some of the great cast. The experts joining us throughout the championships. You can listen to us on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM, and the official Wimbledon or TuneIn apps. And if you're in the US, you can catch us on Sirius XM satellite radio presented by ESPN. And remember, you can tweet us your views at Live at Wimbledon using the hashtag Wimbledon. Email us radio@aeltc.com. You can like our Facebook page or send us your Wimbledon-related pics via Instagram or Pinterest. So after another great day of tennis at the All England Club and not a drop of rain, which was a bonus from me, Mary Rhodes, and the rest of the team. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Live at Wimbledon Radio on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM and the official Wimbledon apps.